What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's Wednesday. The theme on Wednesday is practical solutions. And one of the solutions everyone's looking for is how do we attract and retain great dental team members? I got to get this right. Well, that's a big question. So I thought we'd bring in Deborah Nash, a regular guest, one of my favorite of all time, and a great mentor, and ask her the question, how do we attract and retain great dental team members? So here it is. Please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the GM around here, my job. My entire job around this podcast is to find the coolest experts, thinkers, leaders in all of dentistry and ask them to share some thoughts so you can create a better practice and a better life. And one of the biggest challenges in the entire world of dentistry is how do we attract and retain great people? So I thought I would bring on one of my favorite experts who I would love to talk to every week if she would let me. Deborah Nash, and ask her what's going on with this and how do we deal with this? Deborah, thank you so much for being back. I always love having you on the show.
It's great being back with you too. And I would do this every week as well. Next week, if we do it, I'll do it from Italy, but I still would like to do it. You and I were talking about, everybody's talking about this hiring crisis and finding good people. And so many times I was just doing a program in Sarasota for Smiles in the Sun. And, the doctors come up to me and they said, it's generational. We can't find good people. They don't have a good work ethic. So, and I don't necessarily think that that is the case. That may be the case of across all generations. There are people who may not have a great work ethic. But I also think is what are we doing to attract people and that do have a great work ethic? So how do we set our practice apart so people with good work ethics want to come to work for you? That's the challenge. It's not that there aren't out there. They're out there. But are you attracting them to come to work for you? That's the question.
I totally agree. They are out there. We get to see them. You get to see them. They also know that they're valuable in this marketplace. And if I'm a really amazing chairside assistant or hygienist, I'm not just going to work anywhere. So if I'm a dentist listening to this, why is this so important for me to figure this out, Deborah?
Well, I think it's really important. We were talking about this. I think dental practices thrive on teamwork more than almost any other healthcare profession. But if you think about this, and I know I've said this in other podcasts, that 85% of the time that I spend in a dental practice is in communication. And the last person down there, that 15% clinical application, the last person I typically meet in the dental office is the dentist. Mm-hmm. So I've already started setting, as a patient, I've already determined how I'm feeling about this practice. I was just reading this morning, I subscribed to this great morning program. It's called Inc.com, and they send me these great management articles. And they actually said you have 17 seconds to create an impression with your client, your customer, your patient. So what's happening in the first 17 seconds? So that person and every person following that relationship person is establishing and building the relationship that helps that patient want to move forward with care. And you and I were talking about this. I have a doctor who's really been suffering with someone at the front desk. And once again, I think his what he was looking for to hire was wrong. I corrected his what his search was, because he was hiring for experience. He was
Right.
hiring for somebody who's had dental experience. And I said, you don't hire based on transaction. You hire based on relationship. And this is interesting. So this is one of my first stories. Last night, oh, this is a great story. Last night, my husband took me out for Mother's Day dinner. One of my favorite restaurants. I talk about it a lot in my programs, called Steak 48. And we had Charles from Chicago, who and Jared, who are our servers. And I was talking to Charles from Chicago. That's we ended up calling him that because we said, "Hey, congratulations! You know, the Pope is from Chicago. That's the new Pope, Pope Leo." And I said, "Charles from Chicago, why do you work here at Steak 48?" And we were getting great service, as we always do. And he said, "I'll tell you a story." He said, "I used to work across the street at another restaurant during COVID, and of course, COVID made it all happen. And they asked me to come back at 25% of my salary." And he said, "That 25% of my compensation is not going to pay 100% of my bills."
Right.
So he started looking for another job. And so he went to Steak 48 for the interview process. And apparently the interview process is a number of interviews talking about what do you know about wine and what do you know about cocktails and what do you know about food. And he said he got through part of the process and they hired him without the rest of the interviews. And he said, what the fellow said to me, the interviewer said to me, "I can teach people about I can teach people about wine and I can teach people about cocktails, but I can't teach people about people."
And that's
And he
what,
said,
yeah.
"You," he says, you know about people." And that's what I'm thinking. Doctors need to find people. You can teach them about dentistry. You can teach them practice. You can teach them the technical skills required, but you got to find people who know people. And then when we were talking about that, then you've got to compensate them fairly and fairly well. So this doctor that was hiring for experience, and I said, "You need to hire not for the transactions they know they can provide, but for the relationships they can develop and create with your patients."
Right,
Now,
right.
in order to do that, going back to one of the things you and I talked about, as your employee, Kirk, if I'm responsible for endorsing you and telling my patients how great I think you are, I have to feel great about what I do for you.
Yeah.
And I have to feel great about being there. You and I spoke about this, is that I don't wake up every morning to work on tasks.
Right.
I wake up every morning to have a purpose.
That's
And that's what
powerful.
wakes me up.
Yeah, no, I want you
So
to dissect that. Go back to that. So when you say purpose, but if I'm a dentist listening, but Deborah, you don't understand. I'm just trying to find anybody that can work in a dental office. Like, help me. Help me if I'm telling myself that story.
yeah. So I think it goes back to, man, if you want to find people who want to be loyal to you, and you want to find people who want to stay with you and support you, then you've got to teach them what your drumbeat. You got to teach them your drumbeat. You got to
Yeah.
teach them your drumbeat. What tell them what matters to you. Because that's what inspires me. That if I know what matters to you, I mean, I know if I'm an experienced person at the front desk, I know what tasks are required.
Right.
Tell me why what my being there, what that how that why that matters, why my purpose matters, why my being there matters to the purpose of what we want to provide.
Yeah.
And I think, this client, and actually we recruited one of his former employees back because she went to another office thinking it was going to be better because it was more compensation, but she was basically an employee. She didn't matter. And this, my client makes his team members feel like they matter. And that's the other thing in terms of making your team member, I mean, when was the last time you said thank you for being here today?
Yeah.
When was the last time you said you matter to me? When was the last time you said, tell me what's getting in the way of your success? Tell me what's getting in the way of what's frustrating you most about being your role. So it goes back to one of the things you and I talked about. I do truly believe that doctors, by and large, that doctors don't have growth conferences with their team members enough. They don't sit down one-on-one with a coworker and say, "You matter enough, Kirk, that I'm going to spend 20 20 to 30 minutes with you, asking you about how your job is going, how well are you doing, how can I help you, where have I failed you, where can I help lead you. And I think a lot of times doctors are reluctant to have growth conferences or performance reviews, is what we call them, is because they have in the past associated compensation reviews with performance reviews. And I think we separate them. So performance reviews are absolutely separate from compensation reviews. Compensation is based on, additional compensation is based on two things and two things only. Did our practice increase its net profitability? So now there's viability for growth, for financial growth. And the second criteria is, what was that individual's personal contribution to that growth?
Love it.
That's and so that happens not on my anniversary. I don't get an increase in my allowance on my anniversary. I get praised. I may get a cake. I might get flowers. I might get celebrated, but it has nothing to do with compensation. So there's not an anniversary date of raise of compensation reviews. So when we separate the two, and I always say to doctors, if I'm going to do a really quick down and dirty how you do a growth conference, it should be first thing in the morning, never do over lunch or at the end of the day, because then you say, oh, we ran over into lunch. So now the team member's thinking, well, it doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. My feelings don't matter. So we're going to schedule that first thing in the morning. And I, as the team member, I'm going to speak first. So if you were my employee, I might say, Kirk, tell me what's going well for you. And I'm going to let you tell me. And you might tell me some things that are going well. I'm thinking, man, I didn't even know Kirk did that. I didn't even know that the fish stayed alive because he fed them every day. I didn't know that was what he, I just knew it happened, but I didn't know you were responsible for making that happen. So now I can acknowledge some of the things I didn't even know you did. And then I'm going to say, well, Kirk, in addition to those things, here's what I think you're doing really well. I love your attitude when you come to work every morning. I love your sense of humor. I love what you bring to me. I like your attitude of let's get her done. So I have an opportunity to tell you what I think is great about you. And you had an opportunity to tell me what you think is great about you. And then I'm going to ask you the question, Kirk, where do you think you would like to grow, or where could we help you with your in your role? What could we do that might help you be better at your role?
I
And
love
then
it.
you're going to tell me, here's what I need. Do you need more autonomy? Do you need a better budget? Do you need some help? Do you need more instruction? I mean, so you might say, I might be thinking to myself, if you're my dental assistant, I might be thinking, man, I really wish Kirk would create a better wash field technique, because every time I'm trying to cut it onto a tooth, his the aspirator's in my way. And you might say to me, when I say, where do you think you could grow and improve? You might say, wow, doctor, I really feel like every time you're getting ready to cut a tooth, the aspirator's in the way. So I really would like for you and me to work on that wash field technique at the chair. I'm thinking, he knows it too. So now we come to an agreement and say, you know what? Man, that is something that we need to work on. So let's schedule some chairside training time to make that happen. Or you might say, I'd really like to, rather than me potentially scolding you and saying, Kirk, I'd really like you to be better at scanning the patients now with our new scanning device. I'd really like you to work better on that. You may say, I really need some more training time so I become more comfortable scanning our patients.
I love it. I love it.
That's
So,
your idea. I'm not telling you what you're doing wrong. You're telling me where you need help.
I love where you're going with this. I have so many questions because I want the listeners to hear this. So, number one, you're separating the growth conference. This is a growth conference, and you're doing this regularly. It's a system. You're not doing it reactively, right? So, you're scheduling these. How
This
many
is not a
times?
PIP. This
Right.
is not a.
Right. And then you're separating the compensation from how they grow. So, just how often do you schedule them or recommend, usually with a team member per year?
Oh, well, depending on how long they've been in the practice. For a new team member, I suggest you do it at the end of the day for the first week. Just a quick, how to go today? What worked well for you? Where could we have helped you more effectively? What can I do for you tomorrow? So you make that new employee feel like, wow, I'm getting attention.
Right.
So at the end, so every day for the first week for a new employee, and at the end of the second week, the end of the third week, the end of the fourth week. By the way, 90-day get acquainted periods, not probation periods.
Right.
You're on probation for 90 days. We're going to see if you screw up. No, this is a get acquainted period. So we're gonna make sure we do that during the get acquainted period for the first at the end of the week for the first 4 weeks. For a more experienced employee, then I would say at least twice a year, at least twice a year.
Right. I love this. And we call them check-ins, and I don't like them. I love them. I actually think it's one of the greatest opportunities you have as an entrepreneur to really create connection with employees. I want you to go deep into the why, because the ultimate question is, how do you attract and retain great people? Deborah, help me understand why having regular conferences with somebody that I work with is going to create a better culture, and I'm going to create more of these people. I get this question all the time, so I'm going to
I
addition
know.
to
Well,
it.
and it's interesting because some people think talking about creating culture is psychobabble. There's some people who don't think that matters, but it does matter because it's really the heart of your organization. I mean, it is, once again, it's relationship. It's relational, not transactional. I mean,
Right.
any dentist can cut a crown, but how do you make me feel as a patient when you're cutting that crown? And how does your team make me feel as a patient? Follow up, quick. Paula, because I know I've told my dermatology story. So I've told the dermatology story, and it was then that I had asked a dermatologist, I'll be very brief about it, because you and I could do like a half day retreat on this,
100%.
Paula. So a year ago, I went to the dermatologist for my annual Mohs check. I asked about some additional services, and she kind of threw it away, threw the fee at me. I walked out, didn't appoint. Nobody talked to me about it. Nobody followed up with me. I didn't. It was a $4,800 procedure, and I didn't go for it. I didn't do it. The treatment plan is still sitting in my car to this day, in the pocket of my driver's seat. So, this last week, I went back in for my annual Mohs check. When the reception the assistant came out, she stood at the door and she yelled my name. I thought I was being called to the principal's office. And I got up and I said, wow, I feel like I'm in trouble. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so I knew what she was saying under her breath. I know, I'm sorry, you Karen or you B word. So we got into the room and she says, okay, I'm gonna have you take off your thing and put this around you. The doctor will be in just a minute. Do you have any particular concerns? I said, well, I have this spot on my back I'd like her to look at. And she never said, hey, by the way, last time you were in, you had talked about doing some laser procedures, some laser facials, and I see that you didn't do that. Tell me what prevented you from moving forward. Never brought it up. Never brought it up. Didn't. But doctor came in. She froze the spot here. She froze the spot here. She froze the spot here. Never talked about the thing on my back, and never brought up what she talked to me about last year. We do that in dentistry all the time.
Yep.
Get it in, get them in, get them done, get her done, get her done, get her done in a very short period of time. And we do not talk about additional treatment. And that, her name was Gabby, the assistant. She could have absolutely endeared herself to me and said, oh my gosh, let me show you some before and after pictures. Let me tell you about some of the great success we've had with that particular procedure. She could have convinced me, and that's culture.
Yeah.
That's culture. She was doing a task. She was not there for a purpose.
Yeah.
And it was very obvious. So, one of the things that about that, first of all, we have to remember motivation is not sustainable.
Tell me more.
Motivation is not sustainable because people say, I want you to come in and motivate my team.
Right.
So then I always ask the doctor, well, what are you going to do to sustain that while I'm gone?
It's true.
So I could be the seed that gets you started, but you've got to talk about, and management doesn't motivate. Management is efficiency. Leadership is motivational.
Yeah.
So doctors, if you want to be an effective leader, and one of the things I'll say is, I always say to my doctors, authority, and if you are an authoritative leader, you will get tasks done. But if you lead with kindness, you will build loyalty.
Yeah.
So one of the features of having a growth conference, sitting down with you and I, sitting down with a one-on-one, I'm My objective of that is I want you to see that I care about you. The whole idea is I care about you as an individual, not and what you bring to the team. It's not about your tasks, it's about who you are. So sometimes I'll ask the doctor, when was the last time you asked your team member, how you doing? How are you doing? Are you okay? Are you okay today? When was the last time I might say to doctors, if you want me to defend you, when was the last time you defended your team? So if you have an angry patient who told you that they felt that they had been misaligned or misrepresented by a team member, who do you defend? Do you defend the team member or do you defend the patient?
You got to start with the team, you know?
Got to start with Steve.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important for us. Think to sit down with this is why that is so important that you are here. I wake up every morning and go to a job that I am that I that I'm honored. It's an honor to be there. That I'm acknowledged by being there. That what I do matters. That I wake up every morning and I go into a place that I matter when I get there. So for you to at a growth conference to say, Deborah, or if I say to you, Kirk, I want you to know how much you matter to me.
Right.
And I want you to know how much you matter to this team. And I want you to know how support I want to be supportive. I want to help you.
Yeah.
I want to help you be successful. And I want to make sure that you know that the compensation ceiling, we will decide we can determine that working together.
Yeah. It's amazing when you get the team member talking and engaged in this whole process. Again, I'll go back to this. They have to be systematic. You have to do them regularly, and you have to make them a priority, meaning you're not running, which I love what you're saying about doing it in the morning. And when I do them, I'm just listening, just listening. Team members are brilliant, but you have to give them the space for this. And at the end of the day, what you do screams, I care or I don't care with my team members. Now, I will just say this. A lot of dentists don't want to do this because they say to themselves, I don't have time. I have all these patients. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh, balloons are coming up all over. I gotta stop doing the hand gestures on Zoom because they
I
go.
liked it though.
Yeah,
I liked it.
But you've got to make time to do it. And if you don't have a team that's completely engaged, you just start with one, right, Deborah? You don't have to get like.
Right. And you know what you can say? And first of all, if you don't have time for me, I won't take time for you. So I think that's really important. And I also, you know, and I think you're basically telling me that if you don't have time for me, how important am I? So I think it goes back to, I think the doctor needs to help the team understand the brand. This is who we are. And you represent me. And then I always say to the doctor, your team is representing your brand. And how they speak to the patient is representing your brand. How they speak to each other is representing the brand. And it may be a situation where, I'm not going to get, I don't want to get into, hopefully there's no drama in a dental office, but it happens. It happens. So I might want to go to you and say, Kirk, I know how mature you are. I know how adult you are. And I know that there may be some rumblings among the team. And I know that you'll be a champion to the brand more than to that situation. Be loyal to the brand. You're going to create my loyalty. So I was telling you that a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of going to my friend's house. I always like my bazillionaire friends. What I love about them is they started from nothing and they still feel like, you know, they're just salt of the earth people. They're just worth a lot So they took me to a place. They said, Deborah, we know you don't drink bourbon, but we want to take you to this distillery, this brand new distillery. And it's called the Brad Hollings Beehawk Distillery, Southern Spirits and Southern Pines. And it's not because they wanted to take me to taste bourbon, which, you know, we did. And I did the perfunctory bourbon tasting, little tiny stomach. But this whole distillery was created out of a purpose because this particular soldier was during that whole Black Hawk Down. He was wounded during that whole conflagration, and he was one of those other helicopters, and they shot through the helicopter, and he lost his leg through that. And but he created this distillery to honor the servicemen and service women, service people. And you think, oh, that's really not important, although bottling every their story, everything is about this purpose of honoring the valor and the servitude of and the gratitude that he wants to express of these people.
So
So
cool.
I was sitting at the bar having lunch with my friends, and I always ask the question. I think doctors should ask this question when they go to lunch and they go to dinner or when they do a service. And I said, his name was Joe. I said, Joe, tell me what inspires you. I always say, tell me what inspires you to work for these for this distillery. Any big guy, the former NHL hockey player, he got teary, and he said, I honor their purpose.
Love it.
And he was teary, and he said, and they treat me like family. That's a loyal employee. We can create that in dental offices when our team members know our purpose. So do we need to take time to, and we have to be very clear on what that is, but we need to take time one-on-one and possibly collectively as a group. Once again, here's my drumbeat. Here's what I stand for. Here's what I want our practice to be. And I have found that those doctors who are absolutely strong in their belief of what they want to provide the patient, and they translate that to the team so the team can translate that to the patients, is a stronger and more successful practice.
Totally
And
agree.
less drama. Because think about this. If we're a team, whether it be a sports team or a dental team, if we're a team and we're united in our purpose, the little dribbly stuff, the little trivial stuff that, the day-to-day, who was the last person to do, who sterilized the hygiene instruments? I do this. It becomes inconsequential when we are working towards a greater cause.
Totally agree. And I get this question all the time. Well, I don't have time. Shouldn't I just have another team member do that? And they pass it off and let somebody else do it. What are your thoughts on that? I have a thought, but I want to know your thought.
Part of that could depend on size. I mean, if I have a giant, if I have a giant practice, I might do it with the lead assistant. I might do it with the lead manager. I might do it with the leader. I work with an office in Florida. They have eight offices, but they have a director and they have a CFO, and that director participates in all of the growth conferences for all eight practices.
I love it.
She makes it her mission and her purpose to do that. Do you think they're loyal to them? Absolutely loyal.
Hugely loyal. Now, I
Hugely.
know I can't keep you all day. You're one of my favorite guests of all time, and you're going to Tuscany, and you're doing a lot of great stuff. But I want you to give us some final, wait, I want to do two things before you have to run. Is I want you to tell people where to, like, they want to know more about you. I want you to share, like,
Cool.
but before we do, give us some final thoughts on this.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
I think that the doctors will, and we talked about this. How do I attract and retain and keep these great employees? I think there needs to be more engagement shoulder to so shoulder. That's why growth conferences. I think that they also, doctors have to entrust that the team has the best interest of the practice at heart and act in that way, as opposed to the feeling of, and take a look, and your team is your asset, not your liability.
Love that.
And work accordingly with that. So I think it goes back to show empathy. I think, doctors will, I mean, yes, do we have to have some regulations and some age, human resource requirements in terms of time off and PTO and all? Absolutely. But I won't disregard what those protocols are if I feel regarded. If I feel disregarded, then I might want to abuse the privilege of PTO. I might want to abuse the privilege of the time clock. If I feel respected, I will be respectful.
Right. You are so good. You guys, this is why I have Deborah back again and again and again. I learned so much from you. I want you to tell our listeners to find out where more about you. Like, how do I find out more about what you do? Where do I go?
Oh, well, I have a website, Deborah Engelhardt Nash. .com. And it's Engelhardt. Some people say, I can't find you. Well, that's a hard name to spell. I'm doing a team communication workshop in our Nash Institute. We have the Nash Institute for Dental Learning, so you can always learn about the dental business school that I do there. I also do a team communication workshop that I do there. It's all a day of how to talk to your patients, from phone call to treatment presentation to recall to finances, and all the, how to overcome objections. What do you do with, difficult patients, difficult conversations, and how do we explain our culture to our patient? I'm also doing dental business school. school. I'm excited. I'm doing this for at Glidewell in Irvine in August. I'm going to do a 2-day training course at the Glidewell facility in Irvine, California, August 21st and 22nd, or whatever that Friday, Saturday is. But I'm always available by cell phone. People say, "Hey, can I run something by you?" Absolutely. And my cell phone number is 704-904-3459. And I always love to talk.
She will always get back to you. She will always provide something insightful. And if you haven't seen her speak, you need to see her speak. Deborah, I am so grateful for you. Thanks for being on today. And thanks for being on next week and the
Oh,
week after
let me
that.
also mention, yeah, next week, let me mention one other thing. If somebody does want, I do have a form for growth conferences to
Yes.
help guide them. And if somebody wants that form, they can text me and I'll be happy to send that form on to them. No obligation, no sales pitchy call following that. I'd be happy to send that form, growth conference form, and how to conduct one. Happy to send that on.
You are the best, Deborah. I am so grateful for you. So thank you guys so much. Thank you for being on. And I'm going to encourage you guys, make sure you text her, reach out to her. She will reach back to you and she'll provide some great value. So Deborah, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But
Okay.
thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. This stuff matters. What Deborah's saying is absolutely true. If you do it, it works. You will attract, retain, keep these amazing people that make your lives better. So make sure you do it. So thank you guys for listening today. Thank you for all the shares. Keep showing up and we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.